This morning I want to talk about boldness. I want to talk about being bold. I'm not going to lie. I sat thinking about the scripture for a little while. The story of it. I mean, I've read this story many times and spoken about it once or twice. And I just couldn't quite grasp exactly what I was reading, but it took me a little while just to really comprehend exactly what particularly the verse 13 to 15 really means to me. So in 13 it says, Exodus 14, 13 says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Don't be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.'" So there's probably multiple things, and you know, that's the beauty of hearing different talks, is everyone kind of has a different take on it. And everyone, you know, we're all different personalities and we all think different things, and that's the beauty of it. And the Lord blesses that, of course, according to our talents, but and the way that we think. For me, I feel like that Moses was saying to the people, he was giving them instruction, and in particular he was saying, in this case, don't be afraid, stand still and see the salvation. In verse 14, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. So he's kind of saying like, don't worry guys, God's got this, just wait and see what happens. And in this particular instance, the Lord's saying, no, don't wait for me, just go and do it. I've given you the instructions, go and do it. And so my talk today is kind of based around that thought about getting on with it, about going and do it, and about being bold. Of course, that comes with an element of faith as well. Other stories I can think of, particularly one that I think really strikes me not far from this story is Joshua. Well, not far scripturally, probably quite a long way in years, is Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. And in Joshua 1, and I think maybe 2, but definitely in 1, there was a few times that the Lord said to Joshua to be strong and very courageous, or be strong and of good courage. And he said it 3 times, particularly in the very short time. And it was like Joshua was really getting instructed by the Lord to be bold, to actually go and do the instruction that he had been told. And in that case, he'd been told, you know, to walk around the walls of Jericho and blow your trumpets and do all the things that didn't really seem normal in that case. Imagine us being in this situation in Exodus, particularly, where, you know, I guess the Israelites had been in Egypt for, it says earlier that they were in there for some 400 plus years, and they finally gotten out of there and they didn't really know what was going on. Imagine us in these kind of battles where we all of a sudden get told, just go and do what I've told you to do. Other battles I thought of is Noah and the flood, when Noah was instructed to build a big boat, and you know that there's a lot of rain going to come down for a long time. Seems pretty crazy when you think about it. The Midianites, when they were told, you know, with a small army that they'd beat a large army. David and Goliath. I thought of also Daniel versus the lions. All these situations are times where the Lord's people were faced with much bigger tasks than they were probably able to do by themselves. Not probably, they were able to do by themselves. So I want to turn to Proverbs 28. I just want to touch on this today. I really want you to try to think of, you know, these are real stories that we hear. These aren't fables or fairy tales. These are real stories. So try and picture yourself in these situations. Metaphorically speaking, maybe today, maybe recently, where something's been faced with something, and you know that, you know, God's given this the instruction, whether it's be through the gifts, through a testimony, through a talk, through chatting to someone, through the word, or he's telling you very clearly, step out in faith. Proverbs 28, it says, "The wicked flee when," verse 1, apologies, "the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." Again, I kind of studied this scripture for a little bit. I particularly I broke it up into a couple of parts, obviously. Particularly studied the wicked flee when no one pursues. And I kind of researched that a little bit. And I thought, what is that? I guess, what does that mean? And I guess I struggled to put it into like a really clear sentence, which isn't unlike me. But I sort of thought that people who are in our life, people who take risks, who are dodgy, who are up to bad behavior, are often too scared to face the conflict when things get real. They may seem tough, but really when things get serious and when they're faced with a challenge, that they're not really able to face it, and they end up just running away or getting out of that situation. And I thought of a few times where in the natural, where I might have, I don't know, been faced with that kind of situation. I think that in general, though, the police can often make people feel a bit scared when the police are around. Even if they haven't done anything wrong, the police are around. Our natural instinct is to just make sure we're doing the right thing. If you see a speed camera, you look at the speedo. You know you're not speeding, but you obviously just double check. Generally speaking, police presence makes people feel a little bit on edge sometimes. Maybe not you, maybe just people in the world in general. It happened to me when I was, 17, 18. I remember sitting at the traffic lights and I was in the right turning lane and there was a filtered light. For those of you who don't know what that means, there's no arrow. It was going to turn green, and so I had to wait for oncoming traffic. And I'm sitting there at the red light, and cop car pulls up behind me, and I actually was totally fine, except I was thinking to myself for what felt like half an hour, but it was probably only a minute. Cop car behind me, like, I just got to make sure I don't do anything wrong here. Just don't do anything wrong. There's a police car behind me. I sat there, light went green, filtered light went straight through. I was the first in the line, so there was no accidents or anything like that. I went straight through, the car there saw me, stopped, went straight through, whoop, lights on, pulled me over. I was in a 1986 Corona. Yep, that's a yellow sticker. It's $300. And I felt very silly, but really, I was fine. If the police car wasn't there, I wouldn't have done anything wrong. It was just that her presence that just, I don't know, I choked. If anyone's ever had to lock up Morley or Yanjibup at night by yourself, that's another time where I've kind of felt like I just want to get out of there. That place, yeah, recently I was young people's, I locked up. I drove off, I realised I left my USB in the computer at Morley, and I was 10 minutes down the road and I was like, I have to get it because I need it tomorrow. So it was 11 o'clock at night, so I had to turn around, drive back. There's no one there. That was any noise, and I was just sitting there. Oh, man. Walking down Beverly, down the big driveway, I used to challenge myself to try and walk down there in pitch black by myself and see how far I could get before I start seeing ghosts. I don't think I got more than 20 metres. There was another time where I was at a brother's place in Gosnells. And I was house sitting and I dropped, Tara drove, like, we had a few people over and everyone left and Tara left. And yeah, it was like the first night I was there. Gosnells, for those of you who may not know, is probably a bit like Elizabeth, if that, yeah, there we go. And I was in there and I was by myself, as I said, and I walked in straight down the hallway and I noticed there was a big hole in the roof where the sunlight usually was. And the first thing I just thought of was like, went fight or flight. I am flight every single time. And the first thing I thought of was someone's jumped in through the roof. Somehow they've unbolted the tin. You know, that was an interesting way to get in, and they've jumped through there and they're in the house 100%. So I went straight into the person I was staying in their room while they're away. And I sat there behind the door and I grabbed the closest thing I could find that was a weapon, which happened to be a coat hanger. Metal coat hanger, and I literally stood there. Tara can testify to this. If you remember, it was some time ago. No, you don't remember? That's all right. It's a very good thing. Probably shouldn't have shared this story. I was doing well. I sat there with the coat hanger for maybe half an hour. I'm not exaggerating. To the point where the sweat going into through my feet onto the carpet had made like a permanent imprint in the carpet when I moved it off. And my plan of attack was I was behind the door. If anyone walked in, I was just going to like throw the door in their face and then somehow just whip them with a coat hanger. Yeah, it took me a long time to really make my way out there. So I hope I've described that scripture there well enough for you. It's the opposite, of course, is the second part. The righteous are as bold as a lion. That's really what I wanted to touch on today. The lion, they take charge. They're independent. They don't have to wait to be told. They go out and, I'm not saying we should hunt, but they go out and they get the job done in faith, knowing that, you know, I'm sure they realize that they could be attacked, but they are fearless, aren't they? And that's how we can be, that we are the righteous ones. And it's not to say that anyone that isn't righteous, you know, is not bold necessarily, but it's really highlighting here in this proverb that we are righteous, that we have God, that we don't have a reason to fear in our lives, that we are able to step out, unlike me in that case, and we've done nothing wrong, and God's with us. And back in Exodus, that's what God was saying to Moses and the people, I believe, that he was saying, go out and do it. And I'm sure you know that the next stage is that Moses lift up his rod as he was instructed, and the Red Sea parted, and they won the battle. 2 Timothy chapter 1. By the way, just a temperature check. We seem to have gotten rid of the smell. Is anyone particularly cold or still hot for some reason? Everyone's good? Cool. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, Paul to Timothy, says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." It's the Spirit that gives us this. It's not ourselves. It's that God has given this to us, that we are infilled by the Holy Spirit and we have this as a result. The product of the Holy Spirit is to have this power, love, and of a sound mind. The sound mind there, as it happens, I've got a little, it's called word wealth in my Bible, that explains the word from the original meaning. Says safe thinking, it says good judgment, disciplined thought patterns, I should say, the ability to understand and make the right decisions, qualities of self-control and self-discipline. It means, you know, having good judgment, as it says there. We have the ability to be able to make the right decisions and we don't have to be scared because it says it's not of fear. The Spirit is not of fear. Ephesians chapter 6. I think this might even be my last scripture. There we go. Oh, no, second last. Ephesians 6. It's Paul again here. 19 says, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." In another translation, it says, fearlessly, that I may open my mouth fearlessly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That we should be able to talk to people with no fear about the gospel. "For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." That we can let the Spirit do the talking. And our prayer to the Lord should be that we are able to be fearless, that God would help us through the Holy Spirit to be fearless. And everyone said, 2 Corinthians, this is my last scripture now, chapter 7. Now, here Paul's actually in chapter 7 here at the start here, he's kind of giving some instructions to the church that they shouldn't feel condemned, that he's saying, you know, get rid of all the bad stuff in your lives and the things that's going on. I think that context is important. In verse 4, it says, "Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I'm filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all tribulation." The last little bit I wanted to touch on here is just other ways that we can be bold. I actually, just using this example, I like how Paul's able to, I guess, address the church in this case. He's a man of great respect in the church and humility and courage, a guy that's been through or had been through enough himself to know what's right and what's wrong, what's up and down, and what God wants. And I like that he was able to feel confident and bold to really instruct the church in this case, to say, come on, guys, do the right thing. So I thought of maybe some other ways that we could be bold. For example, I think asking someone if they're okay. Camp's a good time to do that. Asking, having a chat over the fire or over a cuppa at your tent, caravan, cabin, whatever it is. actually asking someone, how are they? In Australia, at least, we have a Are You Okay Day. It's a day where, you know, you just ask someone if they're okay. In the church, it should be a regular thing, shouldn't it? We don't have to impose on people. It's not necessarily tell me all your problems, but I think people appreciate that. And that I think sometimes we have to actually kind of be bold for that. Maybe standing up for what's right at work, at home, with friends, particularly for young people, it can be a really challenging situation where peer pressure is pretty ripe, where we're still, you know, developing. Standing up for what's right, for what Jesus wants. I also think testifying about those situations is as good, because I think it gives people a lot of confidence and it makes people feel comfortable that if that person can do it, then I can do it too. Particularly if someone thinks it doesn't realize that person's done it, that they've, you know, been able to really stand up, or they've been bold in a certain situation, whatever it is, they can think, yeah, man, well, I'm just like them. I could do that too. At Christmas camp, I think that's, oh, I mean, it's hard to say, isn't it? I've been to a lot of camps, like everyone, but in recent memory, I really enjoyed the testimonies last camp. At Christmas camp, I thought they were probably, as I said, in recent memory, my favourite testimonies that I've been to at a church camp here, and I got a lot from them, and I think a lot of that was from people just speaking from the heart, being honest, and not, I guess that is being bold, standing in front of a microphone. My voice is shaking, take it from me. It's as nervous as anything, but actually just being able to just share and be vulnerable and, you know, share with other people what's happened in your life can really change people. It can really impact people. It definitely impacted me at camp. Lastly, discovering your own self, being honest and being bold with yourself, owning up to maybe the things that maybe you need to get right, that you want to change up, that you want to fix up in your life, if it's prayer, if it's, I don't know, doing a, you know, got a little bit of, you're in both camps, lukewarm or whatever it is, actually owning up. I never forget when one of the guys, actually here at camp, he said to me a long time ago, he sat there with the communion juice and the bread, Yanjbup, and all of a sudden something clicked and he's like, what am I taking this for? Like, and it for some reason he'd been taking it for all these years, born into the fellowship, but he just realized, what's going on here? Having that kind of penny drop moment. And I like how Paul has laid out these examples for us through these scriptures to be fearless. So in closing, you know, thinking about the lion, being a lion for God, being bold for God, just as the Israelites were asked to be, and making decisions with faith in our mind, everyone said.